It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Bradford, little screen. That's a lateral. That ball's be loose. Picked up by the Giants. Foley's got it. Running down the right sideline. To the 30, to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Manning back to throw. Looks end zone on the post for Dominic Kickson. Bobbles the ball and then makes the catch for the touchdown.
Jump ball deflected.
And caught off the deflection. Running down the right sideline for a touchdown is Victor Cruz. And he does the samba in the end zone.
Patrick back to throw. Lobs one left for Johnson.
Intercepted by Corey Webster.
And it takes a low snap. He's back. Throws one left down the sideline for Nix,
who makes the catch for the touchdown. With 2:30 to go, Hakeem Nix.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Monday morning right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk and Lance Meadow with you. Giants football, and Lance, a very tough loss for the Giants, a game in which they played well, but not quite well enough to defeat the undefeated Green Bay Packers. Eli Manning, a big fourth quarter drive, and then a converted two-point conversion, but the Giants defense could not hold Aaron Rodgers down. A couple of big plays, one to Jermichael Finley, one to Jordy Nelson, got them into field goal range very quickly, and the Giants fall to the Green Bay Packers 38-35. Well, let's start with the bad first, Lance. They did lose the game. You have to be fair about it. The defense, once again, just gave up too many points.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, and basically you could point to that final drive, John. You know, you're in a position, you just tied the game, the momentum has swung in your direction, but the bottom line is, in 58 seconds, Aaron Rodgers did what he did best. And the bottom line is, he moved the football, he got them into field goal range. It was essentially a chip shot for Mason Crosby. And that's why some Giants fans are not looking at it for the moral perspective that a lot of people are in terms of this being a moral victory. There are a lot of positives to take away from yesterday's game. I'm not going to sit here and argue in terms of them able to win the battle at the line of scrimmage. But at the end of the day, as you started off the show, and it's a loss. You know, and the bottom line is, they're 6-6. They've lost four in a row. You know, the opportunity to take control of the division is still in front of them, but they need to prove that they can play more consistent football from one week into the other.
Hey, look, I got to this conversation a lot walking out of the stadium last night. And I'll just say this. To me, a loss is a loss is a loss, the same way what you would consider a bad win, a win is a win is a win. That being said, the caliber of football the Giants played yesterday was such an improvement over what they showed the prior 2 weeks against Philadelphia and what they showed against New Orleans that I think you have to take something positive out of this. And I'm being consistent because I said at the end of last week, winning this game isn't the most important thing in the world. The two games you got to win on the rest of the schedule are the two games against the Dallas Cowboys, right? So the big part of the game yesterday was going out and playing better football. And you saw the Giants do things that they have not been able to do in some cases all year long, in some cases recently. They got to the passer. Even with four guys, Justin Tuck, I thought, played one of his better games of the season. Jason Pierre-Paul all over the field. Linville Joseph made plays. Those guys played strong on the defensive line, and they also stopped the run pretty well. As for the offensive line, you saw them open up holes in the running game bigger than I've seen the entire year. Ahmad Bradshaw came back. He ran the ball well. It looked like he had fresh legs. Brandon Jacobs looked invigorated. I think there are a lot of positives to take out of this game that the Giants can improve on moving forward. And if they play as well as they did against Green Bay, unless the Cowboys also raise the level of their play, the Giants should win in Dallas next week.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here just to balance out the conversation, which obviously I take great pride in doing when I host a show with you. Packers did lose their top running back. I'm just throwing things out here to at least maybe downgrade it a bit. Okay, they were missing their best offensive lineman, were they not, in Josh Sitton?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could have contributed to some extra bonus plays for the Giants from a defensive perspective. And then on defense, Green Bay's missing arguably their two top linebackers in A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop, which I think aided the Giants' running game. But you're right, the offensive line did play with certain, you know, intensity and a lot more aggressiveness than
more
we've
physical.
Seen. Yeah, they won the battle at the line of scrimmage, which they have not done in prior weeks. Now, is that a reflection of inserting Kevin Booth to center and Mitch Petras at guard? You know, David Bass, all expectations point to, will be ready to play against Dallas because it was headaches in which he arrived at the stadium that forced him to be inactive. So I don't foresee them benching him despite how well the offensive line performed yesterday.
Is there any truth truth to the rumor that David Boss's headaches happened when he showed up here at the facility and he had to have a conversation with you for 15 minutes? I heard that was true.
Anything's possible. You know, I could always throw anybody off their games. I'm not going to deny that fact.
But look, this is the way I look at it. Last week, the Giants played a Saints defense that was the worst in the league in terms of yards per carry. They still couldn't run the football. I could have put you and Melroy on the defensive line. This Giants team would have trouble running the football the last couple of weeks. That's how feeble they were. Tom Coughlin called it embarrassing. He called it embarrassing. The fact that they ran the ball yesterday is a great sign. They got to the passer. There are still a lot of problems in the secondary and the back end. There's no question about that. Eli Manning had that one bad throw that Clay Matthews returned for the touchdown. That really, in the end, is likely what cost the Giants this game. You don't have that turnover. You're in pretty good shape there. Hakeem Nicks played well. Victor Cruz played well. Look, I just think despite the loss, the season's still in front of them. With the Cowboys lost, the Giants still control their own destiny in the division and to make the postseason. I'm not saying don't be disappointed and don't be upset the Giants lost this game. You should be. It's a chance to win a game at home against an undefeated opponent. But looking ahead to Dallas, which again is the more important game, they're playing better football than they've played since they lost to the New England Patriots.
And the Cowboys have been inconsistent in recent weeks. So you can argue that that team has a lot of question marks too, probably just as many as the Giants do.
Now, and I'll say this too, and I said this after the Patriots game. Now you have to build on this performance. This performance by itself, especially in a loss, doesn't amount to anything. If you don't build on this performance and continue to play at the same level with the same execution, with the same intensity, next week against Dallas, I'll throw this game out, and I'll come back on next Monday and say, you know what, I take it back. That loss against Green Bay stunk because he didn't build on it. But I think this is something you can build on.
Well, that's why I pointed out, you know, is it going to be Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde next week?
Right.
That's my big question mark. You know, this team needs to prove that it could play consistent from one week to the other and build off, like you said, the positives that were on display yesterday.
201-939-4513. Lance and I, of course, take your calls every Monday morning after every single Giants game right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Also, get involved in the conversation on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Are you still moderating Facebook, by the way, Lance?
Yes,
or no?
I do. Not as many comments, though, as we do get on Twitter.
Well, so. I think Twitter's the better forum for something like this.
But we are keeping close tabs on all social media forums.
Very good. So join the conversation there as well. Let's go to the phones. One of our constant contributors on Twitter is Zeke down in Virginia. What's going on, Zeke?
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
Good morning.
I'd like to talk about our chances to get in the playoffs, but I'd like to ask y'all one question.
Yep.
How many people called in last night and said, Kevin Gilbride, why did you run the shotgun draw to get the two-point conversion?
Not one.
I'm telling you, ain't it amazing? If it works, Giants fans don't say nothing. If it doesn't work, fire Gilbride, fire Coughlin.
That's the game of football.
Fire Payne Field for running that play, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the game of football. That's what it comes
that's
down
sports.
To.
Sports.
Yeah.
If it works, people love it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't matter how genius of a call it was, people are going to kill you for it.
I was screaming it actually worked when that worked. Okay, let's get to chances to a playoff. I was saying before the game, to anybody I talked to, it doesn't matter if we win this game by 100 or we lose this game by 100 because the two biggest games are against the Cowboys.
Right.
And if we come in to Cowboys Stadium and get slapped, it's over. It's over. That season's over. We lose next week. Whoever wins next week, in my opinion, wins the division. Just that plain and simple. Now, a lot of people say, you know, a lot of people are saying we're not a playoff team. You know, we're not good. If we do go in the playoffs, we're one and done. You know, how many times have they said that about just teams in general? Let's just look at the 06 Colts. The 06 Colts couldn't stop anybody in the running game. All of a sudden, they get hot. They win Super Bowl. Giants lose two in a row. First week one and week two, win six. You know, before the playoffs even happened, Eli Manning throws four interceptions against the Vikings, and you already know what happens.
Yep.
We get hot. We win the Super Bowl. The year after that, the Eagles were dead to rights when they benched Donovan McNabb against the Ravens. And what happened? They beat the Giants in divisional round. And they face who else? The Cardinals, who were also dead to right when the Eagles smacked them in the mouth after Donovan now got benched against the Ravens. So anything can happen as long as you get to the dance, man.
Well, I mean,
I hope to God we do.
Now, Zeke, I hear you, man, and let me just break down the division race for you. 1 second, Lance. Excuse me for interrupting. But right now, and Zeke, hang with us. I'll explain it to you, and then we'll let you go. If the Giants lose to Dallas this week, their playoff hopes are not over. If the Giants do lose to the Cowboys this week, and that means the Cowboys have a two-game lead on the Giants, if Dallas loses to Philadelphia in their final game against the Eagles, and then the Giants beat them here in MetLife Stadium, the final game of the year, and the Giants also have to win out, they have to beat Washington, they have to beat the Jets, the Giants would still win the division because the Giants have a better record than the Cowboys in common games. In the division tiebreaker, the third tiebreaker after head-to-head and division record is common games between the two teams. So even if the Giants do lose this week, I agree, it would be a tough loss and it would put the Giants in a very tough spot. They can still win the division if they win out and the Cowboys lose to both the Eagles and to the Giants the final game of the season, all right?
Yep, gotcha.
All right, appreciate it, Zeke. Good call, man.
And what I was going to piggyback off of what Zeke was mentioning was, you know, it's all about who's hot at the end of the season. That's usually indicates which team is going to head into the playoffs and have a very good chance.
Though I'm trying to remember last year, there was a team going into the postseason. I don't remember which team it was.
Look at the Packers.
That everybody loved heading into the playoffs. I think it was an AFC team, and they're like, they're going to go to the Super Bowl because they're the hot team heading in. They got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. I'm trying to remember who it was. Maybe it was the Saints against the Seahawks I'm trying to think of. But there was a team that was hot heading in. And, you know, you just got to play better. And the Giants showed an improved level of play yesterday, I think, is very encouraging.
But the point I was going to make about teams that were hot is the Packers. Green Bay last season, I mean, at this point, they were an inconsistent football team. And then they wound up winning down the stretch and making a run to the Super Bowl.
This is about the time. In fact, I think it was almost 2 weeks after this that they lost that bad Monday night game when Flynn was a quarterback. Rodgers was out with the concussion.
The
that was the game prior to the Giants game against the Packers on Sunday, actually.
Correct.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Noshaya in Connecticut. What's up, Noshaya?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning. Good.
My point of emphasis is just about how very similar the season is kind of playing out for our Giants, similar to 07. A lot of people write us off and so on and so forth. Long story short, Tom Coughlin, Perry Fuel, the entire Giants organization deserves a lot of credit for keeping the team afloat, still being in the playoff chase, among the ravage of injuries that has decimated the team. For them to play the way that they did yesterday against Green Bay basically shows that as mighty as everybody thinks Green Bay is, they're really not, you know, untouchable. They're not the Tom Brady, you know, New England Patriots that went undefeated all the way up to the Super Bowl. At some point, somebody's going to knock them off. The way the season's going to end out, we're only one game behind Dallas. We beat them this weekend. Pretty much run the table the rest of the way. I don't see why the Giants couldn't do that and go 4-0 the rest of the way, go into the playoffs pretty hot, and basically do the same thing that they did in 07. You know, the Giants really don't play very well, being the favorites, so on and so forth. So I think the way that they played yesterday showed how much the team is coming together. It showed a lot that a lot of Giants fans still have a reason to believe that the season, you know, is going to turn out well. I saw a tweet from our NFL Films maybe a couple of weeks ago that pretty much predicted that the Giants were going to be Super Bowl champions, so everybody shouldn't, you know, get worried and feel like the season's over. It's not over yet. It's not over. We're only one game behind Dallas. Dallas pretty much showed everybody yesterday that they can't be trusted to win games that they should win. And like I said, the way the Giants played yesterday, barring some of the bizarre calls by the referees, we should have at least beaten Green Bay by at least a touchdown. You know, if things had gone right and the officiating was, you know, up to par, but it wasn't, you know, don't really want to make too much excuses. But like Antrell Rowe said, you know, the team has faith, and I think Giants fans should have faith, you know, and that's what it's all about. Everybody believing, and that's what the team needs. You know, a lot of the Giants fans jump on the wagon, jump off, jump on, jump off every week. And, you know, it's really not fair, you know, but I do believe, still believe, that the Giants will be Super Bowl champions. We will run the table. I believe that. What do you guys
confidence.
Think about that?
Noshaya, appreciate the call, man. Great, great confidence out of Noshaya there. But remember, even if they win this week against Dallas, the same way I gave the playoff scenario one way, I'll bring it back the other way. If the Giants beat Dallas this week, and then Dallas runs the table, and even if the Giants run the table as well, Dallas will have the tiebreaker against the Giants in common games. So while this game is important this Sunday, it's not the be-all and the end-all. And I also want to kind of defunct this whole just like 2007 thing. And I get people make a big deal about beating the, like, you know, just losing to the undefeated Patriots the last game of the year. There are a lot of different things about that. A, there's still four games left in the year. All right, there's still a lot of time to go here. That's number one. And number two, you can't always go back to 2007. That was a bizarre yet very special year. And you can't hope to, you know, just get hot at the right time. The Giants had things go right for them that year. That it's just hard to imagine that are going to repeat. Be very careful using 2007 as a blueprint of how to win Super Bowls. That sort of stuff doesn't happen a whole lot, Lance.
Every season is different. And, you know, another point that a lot of Giants fans were pointing to, and a lot of the so-called experts, I should say,
like
was
you?
That the, yes, including me, the Broncos the Broncos were knocked off by the Giants in the 90s when they were on a streak to be unbeaten. The Giants knocked off the Patriots because they had a history against unbeaten teams that gave them an edge against the Packers. It's a different team. It's a different season. You know, anything could play out from one season to another. And I understand there are similarities. There's comparisons because the Giants have that, you know, come-from-behind mentality. Everybody's against us. The world is against us. We're not a playoff-caliber team, and they're looking to quiet all the skeptics and make a statement. And that could very well happen over the next four games. But, you know, let's treat this season for what it's worth, and the past is the past.
201-939-4513. Keith in Fort Lauderdale. What's up, Keith?
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning.
I'm going to take the loss as a moral victory. I'm going to take that side of the coin and try to, you know, reserve too much criticism. I thought it was a great game. The Cowboys, you know, I take Cowboy games really personal. And, you know, losing to the Cowboys next week is going to be a whole nother matter. You know, I mean, in terms of, I hate to be so dramatic, but in my eyes, we lose to the Cowboys, it's the end of the era. You know, in terms of the Coughlin dynasty, you know, the Coughlin era, because it'll be real hard to make the playoffs. You know, we lost our most bitter rival. Between that and the Eagle game, more so than New Orleans or Green Bay, the Eagle game was the big disappointment of the year. You know, that was a game we couldn't let go and we let it go. So, you know, if we get the win next week and we can, you know, make the run to the playoffs, I'll be pretty satisfied. If we lose next week, I'm probably going to be really upset. So I think that was the thing here. So I'm just going to wait and see what happens next week, and then we'll talk about it.
All right, well, I appreciate the phone call. And listen, you know, even if the Giants do lose, remember, there's still another game against Dallas to end the season. And Dallas doesn't necessarily have a gimme schedule. You know, they do play Tampa Bay after, and the Bucs have lost six in a row, but it's a quick turnaround because that's the Thursday night game. So once they play the Giants Sunday night, they have a very short week. They've got to play in Tampa Bay Thursday. Then they've got a tough Eagles team, which clearly is not going to lay down, even though many people would argue they're mathematically eliminated. And then they come to New York. So, you know, that's a tough schedule. That's not easy by any means.
Well, and the Giants don't have an easy schedule either. They already lost to Washington once this year. And the Redskins have proven that they have a good defense, as inconsistent as Rex Grossman is. They do play defense well. And then, of course, the Jets, who had a big win against the Redskins this week, they'll be making a playoff push there. And there's a decent chance, quite frankly, on that Christmas Eve day, one half of New York is going to be pretty annoyed. Because one of those teams could get eliminated from the playoff picture on that week 16 game. That could be, yeah, exactly. Merry Christmas.
Well, you could point to that being probably the most critical game of the season. I mean, I know, you know, obviously you got to
beat
Dallas.
Every game is critical here, Lance.
But
the Dallas games are more critical
point,
than that. Oh, the most critical games against the Cowboys. They'll throw out the Jets are going to be the most critical. It's going to be critical, but not the most critical.
That could make or break both of those team seasons.
Sure that could. Game. But the Dallas games could make or break it even worse.
But I'm saying that
The always pivotal game against the cross-tie rival, New York Jets. Always pivotal, right, Lance?
Always pivotal.
Inside joke, sorry.
Yes,
201-939-4513. Mike's in North Park in New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Good
what's
morning.
Up?
What's up, bro?
Yo, Yo, first of all, just got to give a major shout-out to the North Bergen High School Bruins. You know what I mean? Got that state championship in Giant Stadium.
Yeah, good job by them on Saturday.
And got to give another major shout-out to my boy Jason Garrett down in Dallas for being a bonehead. You know, appreciate it. That's probably going to be the Giants.com player of the week in my opinion.
That's a good line, Mike.
That's pretty good. He gets the extra effort of the week, yeah. By the way, too. Yeah.
And I just, you know what, man? I really got to give a lot of props to Eli, too, man. He's really given us Giants fans a reason to believe this season because the defense is just dead, in my opinion. They really... Somebody got to give them some life, man. I don't know what's going on that other side of the football, but Eli, he's really impressing me. And, you know, the kid's just playing outstanding football, and I hope he has, you know, a better closing this season because if not, it'll just be a shame.
Oh, Manning's been playing, absolutely consistent from week to week. You know, there were some questionable throws yesterday, one of them being the interception that cost him. But you're right. You know, he's keeping this team in the flow of the game, in the mix, and that is why week in and week out, with the exception of the Saints game, you know, they've had an opportunity to get on top in the closing minutes. And I think a lot of that belongs to the fact that Eli Manning has been smart in getting this offense on track in key critical situations. So, you know, no argument there. Eli Manning's been playing absolutely consistent.
He's not the problem.
Yeah. I mean, they certainly don't need to fix their quarterback situation at this point. Last priority.
Yeah, it's basically just the defense, man. I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, you know, we were pretty decent last season. You know, I understand we got the injuries and everything, but we really got to step up. I mean, we were playing our asses off yesterday. And for them to just come out and lay a fart like that with 58 seconds to go, there's no excuse for that. Let's hit the quarterback in the mouth. Let's not make him comfortable. You know what I mean? I mean, these guys were making unbelievable catches, no doubt. I'm going to give them a lot of credit for that. And Aaron Rodgers was making some beautiful throws. But, I mean, come on, man. We got the crowd on our side. We got all the momentum in the world, you know? We got to punch them in the mouth. We got to let them know, listen, you ain't walking away with a victory in our home, bro. This is our home. This is how we do it up in New York. And that's it. We shut it down, man. But unfortunately, it wasn't like that. But we're going to go down to Dallas. You know, we're going to give a high five to Jason Garrett for keeping our season alive. And we're going to smack those girls up, man. And we're going to let people know, you know what? We ain't dead. You want to count us out? Go right ahead. But we ain't dead, man. We still alive, man.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the call, man. And look, defense overall, it is Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers do have a great offense. There's a reason they're undefeated, and they're averaging 34.7 points per game. They only score 3 points more than their season average. I know it's crazy to say that, but they only score 3 points more than their season average. So maybe not as bad of a defensive performance as it might seem. That's how good the Packers' offense is. But if you give the ball back to the other team with 50-something seconds, 58, right?
58 yeah.
Seconds to play with only one timeout, you should be able to stop from scoring.
Well, they got
to
go 80 yards, absolutely.
And they did it in two plays, pretty much. They got it to JerMichael Finley. I know people want to take a shot at Jaquan Williams. You know, keep him in front of you. Don't go for the ball. Aaron Rodgers put that ball in an area about the size of this piece of paper out of Jaquan Williams' reach. If that's any other quarterback, 85% of the time that's knocked down. 25% it might be picked off. So I'm not going to kill Jaquan Williams for that. And on the other play, you blitz, you got Will Blackman, who hasn't been on a team for 11 weeks, guarding Jordy Nelson man-on-man. You could say, you know, where's Prince Amukamara? And where was Prince Amukamara? Apparently he was a little tired or fatigued and they were rotating. That's fine. But here's the thing. If you have Will Blackman manned up on Jordy Nelson, you're going to lose. That's why Will Blackman wasn't on a roster the last 11 weeks.
And Aaron Rodgers is pretty smart. He's looking at the defensive players on the field, and he's saying, oh, Will Blackman's in? I think I'm going to throw the ball to Jordy Nelson. I like that matchup.
Yeah, no
so,
question.
So, you know, I mean, that's basically throwing out the piece of meat to the lion and just, you know, convincing him to come on over. And Aaron Rodgers took full advantage of that. The other argument that I was hearing yesterday, John, was that, well, the Giants could have done a better job with game management on that final drive.
No, just score touchdown.
Of course.
Score the touchdown. You can't worry about wasting clock in that spot. You get that touchdown as quickly as you can. And I talked to somebody else about this too. Giant fans, think of this. You didn't just need the touchdown. You need the two-point conversion as well. So if you waste time and you don't score that touchdown till there's, 25 seconds to play, and then you onside kick it, you got no time to go down there and get your field goal to try to win that game if you fail in the 2-point conversion. So that to me is a false argument. I can't buy that.
Well, that argument is based on that you're taking for granted that the Giants were going to score. And there's no guarantees in this league.
And get the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
You got to do it twice. And the Giants haven't exactly been experts in short yardage situations this year either.
Which was also probably a good thing to take away from yesterday's performance, that they actually finally solved their issues in those 3rd-and-1 situations, and they were able to actually move the chains.
It was a 3rd-and-2 situation.
Well, excuse me.
2-1.
Well, speaking of criticism here, I love the analogy here. He had enough space as big of the piece of paper, and clearly the listeners can see the piece of paper that you were holding up at the time.
Well, Lance, in fairness,
is it 8.5 by 11, or is it 8.5 by 14? Let's be specific.
Are generally pretty uniform in size, and if it is if it is legal instead of regular normal or letter, I still think it's a pretty damn good throw. Whether you're fitting the ball in an 11-inch window or a 14-inch window, it's a pretty damn good throw. 201-939-4513. Lance's best friend in the world. Vinny's in Pennsylvania. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
Oh, man. Oh, Bradshaw's back. JPP with a sack. 38-35, we almost had the pack. Naysayers get slapped. You know what I mean, Meadows? Look, I liked your post-game show yesterday. I was listening. You were positive. Schmel, I'm not saying anything. I know you're the man. But listen.
All true.
Put it like this. Look. Yeah, everybody wants Coughlin's head or talk about Gilbride and the defense. You know what? We actually have a good team this year. Win or lose next week, it doesn't matter. We have a lot of injuries. It's not an excuse. But we're a great team, you know. We're not Philadelphia. We finish our interviews. We don't cry. You know, our players talk to each other on the sideline. Yeah, you're going to point the finger at Chase Blackburn, but don't put a guy who hasn't played in 11 weeks in that situation in the first place. And I'm not talking about to cover a guy one-on-one. I mean, that's how hurt our defense is, that we're pulling guys that haven't played for 11 weeks. Give the guy some credit. He stepped on the field. He was still in shape. I mean,
Chase Blackburn had the big pick. He played well.
That's what I mean. So, you know, you want to go point fingers or whatever. Everybody wants to point fingers. And like that one guy said, everybody wants to hop on the bandwagon when we're losing, winning, hop off when we're losing. You know what? I don't want to hear anybody calling for anybody. I don't want to hear anything about a shotgun draw because all of a sudden now it's a great play. You know, I'm just saying, I think, you know, the reason I call is like, look, I don't want Coughlin's head. I don't want anybody's head. I didn't want it last week. I didn't want it when we lost to the Eagles. You know what I mean, we're a great team. We're lucky that we don't have problems like Philly does with some big shot guy crying on the bench. I mean, we're lucky to have the team we have. Next week, we're going to go out. We're going to try to win. We win. You know what I mean? I think this might send us on a little hot streak, you know?
Well, you know what? And that's why this game could be a good sign and a positive for things to come. And Vinny, thanks a lot. Vinny, very soft on Lance today. He was actually happy with their performance yesterday in the postgame show.
Oh, he was stroking your ego pretty nicely. So I saw a little
smile. He just speaks the truth,
Meadow.
He speaks the truth.
He's stating the obvious,
clearly.
I mean, I don't even know why we're even continuing this conversation. It goes without saying.
But I know, obviously, that, you know, that Vinny's approval is really the pinnacle of what you're trying to achieve as a broadcaster.
That's clearly why I'm in this business, only to hear from Vinny from PA. His feedback means the world to me, clearly.
I'm aware.
I mean, his comments on Twitter take the postgame show to a whole new level.
Do they really?
Oh, absolutely. That goes without saying.
201-939-4513. We actually have some open lines, folks. You want to give us a call? Get right in at 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dominic down in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. What's up, Dominic?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Okay, good. I think that the Giants played a very good game. I'm disappointed in the loss, but very happy with the overall performance of the team. I noticed something that I didn't hear anybody discuss at this point on this call, and that's that I noticed that for the first time this season, Aaron Rodgers had the nervous look on his face.
He did.
That's something that I think will resonate, not just to the Packers, but it will resonate internally with the Giants. Like, with the play calling that the refs called and certain challenges, I don't necessarily agree with, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on that. I do want to get some feedback from you guys with that. Also, Brandon Jacobs was great. The secondary did a great job, and we can't play a perfect game, but we had them running for their money. It was great to see Chase Blackburn. Eli's game stats were almost neck-to-neck with Rodgers' stats, so you know, I think Eli did a very, very good job. The running game seems to be coming back into place. And I want to get some feedback from you guys in terms of how the refs called the game.
Honestly, and if you listen to this show and you listen to everything I do on the website, I will never take shots at the officials. I always say eventually the calls will even out. Everything's going to work out. But look, as someone who never likes to go there, I saw some calls last night that I just didn't get. The worst was the illegal contact on Jaquan Williams that gave the huge first down to the Packers. I didn't get it. I never thought Greg Jennings had control of that ball in the back of the end zone. I thought it was moving around. On the Hakeem Nicks one-handed catch, Charles Woodson is literally pulling his arm down, which forced Nicks to catch the ball with that one hand. The Prince of Mukamura pass interference penalty, I thought was a phantom call. I didn't see anything on that. You saw a couple plays where Giant players were getting illegal contacted down the field. No calls. I thought the officiating last night, Lance, was very poor.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with your point. I think that the Greg Jennings catch, that was bobbling as he came down with it. And if you go based on the Calvin Johnson interpretation, you know, that should have been overturned. So I was really surprised that that was upheld. The Jake Ballard, I did not think was a touchdown. I think that was actually one of the right calls.
Correct.
That the
officials
made.
I thought that was a good call.
And the illegal contact, yeah, I mean, it was pretty much a phantom hit on Jermichael Finley. Plus, Corey Webster was in the vicinity. So even if Finley gets open, you can make the argument that Webster was going to be there. And even if Rodgers would have thrown it in the vicinity, he would have been well defended.
Bad call. In
hindsight here, the Packers did ultimately punt on that drive. So that didn't necessarily hurt the Giants, big picture. But, you know, calls can impact the mental game and that side of things when it comes to how a football game plays out.
Did you think Driver stepped out of bounds in the back of the end zone? You never really had a good replay.
You never had
the back view. I thought it was too hard to tell.
I could not tell, and I didn't see. Based on what I saw from the front angle, it didn't look like he stepped out.
I agree, and I thought the play on the sideline, I think it was Jennings.
Driver made that catch again, the one where the Giants lost that challenge.
Where his calf almost went out of bounds before he caught it. But I honestly thought that was a catch. I thought the referees got that one right as well. It was close,
yeah.
But I thought he had control before the side of his leg hit out of bounds.
Yeah, the illegal contact is probably the one that really stands out the most to me, and I understand that I pointed out that they did punt, but just from a motivational standpoint,
field position.
You sack him, it's 4th and 21, you're going to force them to punt, and all of a sudden it turns into a 1st and 10. So that hurt just the shift of momentum, I thought, in terms of how the game played out.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not sure that, I know a caller said earlier, and we didn't address it because he had so many points, that if the refs pulled a better game, the Giants might win by a touchdown or 10 points. I'm not sure if I'm going to go that far, but yes, there were some calls in this game that you kind of, you know, raise your eyebrows at and you're like, huh?
Regardless of the officiating, though, I still get back to the point that 58 seconds on the clock.
And that's fair.
Packers have the ball on their own 20, make a defensive stop. And we throw all the other arguments out the window
and
here.
And quite frankly, that's been an issue, whether it was against the 49ers and Alex Smith, whether early in the season it was against Charlie Whitehurst at the end of the game, whether it was against Vince Young and the Philadelphia Eagles, whether it was this game against the Green Bay Packers, the Giants' defense in fourth quarters, whether they're down, up, or tied, they've had issues getting stops when they need them.
Yeah, you could point to every quarterback in every team that's gone against the Giants recently has had success moving the ball, and we're not just talking about 30 to 40 yards here. We're talking about 80 yards and converting on one third down after the other. Vince Young had 6. Drew Brees threw 7 touchdowns. You know, I mean, you know, the list goes on and on here. That's a trend that's troubling, and that's the negative, I think, to take away from yesterday's performance. But there are a lot of positives, but still, consistent defensive play. Is it going to show up next week against Dallas? That's my big question.
Especially in the secondary. The Cowboys are going to get Miles Austin back. You have Dez Bryant, who, despite his issues, and he has plenty of them, he's a big play wide receiver. Laurent Robinson's having a big-time bounce-back year for them. That's another guy you got to worry about. The secondary better clean up because the Cowboys can make big plays just as well as the Packers can. Now, obviously, Romo's not Aaron Rodgers, but they still have a lot of weapons. Jason Witten, of course. And now if Kenny Phillips is not going to play next week, and we don't know about it, folks, but look, it's a sprained knee. It didn't look great. If he has to miss a week or two, and we'll know when he gets the MRI done, either later today or tomorrow. We'll have the news, of course, on Giants.com. If they lose him in the secondary, Lance, That's a problem. They're already really shorthanded back there, and you saw at the end of that game. They had Aaron Ross back in that deep safety spot a couple times at the end of that game, which is why you had Will Blackman playing outside on Jordy Nelson towards the end of that ball game. It could be a big problem next week.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, remember, Jason Witten's another guy that we didn't throw out there. Mm-hmm. Look at the game Jermichael Finley had in the middle of the field.
A lot of drops for Finley in that game,
and
by the way.
That actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because that relates to a tweet that we just got from Ezekiel Hill regarding that the ESPN and the other media outlets talking about a lot of drop passes by the Green Bay Packers and how that held them back and maybe took away a touchdown or two from them. And you certainly can make the argument that Aaron Rodgers' receivers did not bail him out.
Not
more
at
often
all.
Than not.
Not at all.
Yesterday. You know, Jennings had drops. Finley had drops.
Finley, I think, had three. A couple down the seam.
Yeah.
One in that cross in the middle of the field. Jennings had the uncharacteristic drop. Crabtree, the other tight end, had a drop on one of those seam routes. But I don't think Rodgers was as sharp as he is either. I don't think his balls generally got exactly where he wanted them to go all the time. He was not quite as accurate as usually was.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hold it back. I mean, the terminology that you just threw out there. Anyway, but Aaron Rodgers, though, the one thing you have to say in terms of his ability with his legs, you know, he can do just as much damage as he could do with his arms.
Well, not as much, but enough.
But you know what? When you give up an 11-yard run
two big first downs,
third and 10 yeah. and second and 9, I mean, that's troubling.
It's true.
You know, it's not just the Giants defending the pass here. We're also talking about the run. Aaron Rodgers was the team's leading rusher yesterday for Green Bay. They lose James Starks due to an aggravated knee injury. They bring in Brandon Sane, who has barely played this season, a practice squad running back. Ryan Grant, you know, hasn't been nearly as effective as he was two seasons ago. And Aaron Rodgers is the guy that puts the team on his shoulders and moves the chains with his arms and his legs.
All right, look, Rodgers played he's good. There's a reason he's going to be the league MVP.
But why not have a guy that is shadowing him so that you're concerned somewhat about his ability with
Lance,
his legs?
Hold on. Against the Packers, with their quadrillion of wide receivers and tight ends that can make plays down the field, you're committing a defender to Aaron Rodgers running? What, are you out of your gourd?
Well, at least a linebacker should be somewhat responsible for keeping close tabs on
him. If you're playing man defense, you're following your man down the field. And the Giants have got killed in zone defenses the last couple weeks. You're playing man. There's going to be room for Aaron Rodgers to run. And you know what? You deal with that. If Rodgers runs for 11 yards, so be it.
Well, man-to-man coverage certainly hurt them as well in certain situations, and I know more so at the end of the game
sure.
when Will Blackman was in, but it was mixed results in terms of how they did in respect to coverage and man-to-man. But to me, you know, I know it's Aaron Rodgers, and he's in a whole other level compared to the other quarterbacks in the league, but, you know, when you have a team pinned back in a third and 10 situation, you know, it's one thing if you're going to give up a big passing play, because that's what Aaron Rodgers does best. But to give up 11 yards, I mean, I find that troubling, especially when you're talking about the middle of the field. It wasn't like he was running down the right sideline. So that's a troubling statistic. And Tony Romo, you're right. He's not Aaron Rodgers, but he is a mobile quarterback.
Correct.
And you need to take that into consideration, that if he doesn't have his option down the length of the field, he will also not hesitate and put the ball to his stomach and run up the middle of the field.
201-939-4513. Sonny's out in Sacramento, California. What's up, Sonny?
How's it going?
Good morning.
Hey, with Phillips, how you doing? With Phillips being down, I would consider calling Darren Sharper up, bring a veteran in there to help, you know, as an addition for depth.
Sonny, I hear you, but honestly, I think at this point it's too late to bring in somebody that's foreign to the system. It's one thing bringing a guy like Blackburn who knows the defense.
Yeah.
You bring in a guy like Sharper, it's going to take him a couple weeks just to get used to how to play this thing.
That may be so, and then I think they're going to stick with the offensive line that they have. Petras was a spark. He's known to be the strongest guy on the team, and it's no accident that when Booth is on that line, the running game starts showing some life. And I don't care if that boss sits on the bench the rest of the year at this point. Not to talk your ear off, but we have to win next week, you know, from a mental standpoint of view, and I don't see why we couldn't come out of there with a victory.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, the Dallas game, it goes without saying, is critical. I think the positive to take away from the Packer game is that My biggest concern was, you know, a terrible loss to the Saints. If they got beat up again by the Packers, mentally, where would this team be today heading into a week of preparation for the Cowboy game? And I think mentally they're in a better state of mind than they would be had they gotten beat up really badly by the Packers. So the fact that they were in the mix till the very end gives them a better mental output towards their preparation for the Cowboys game. And that could go pretty far in determining the outcome of the next game. So that's probably the biggest positive to take away from yesterday's performance.
Well, no doubt about it. And nothing would make me happier than seeing that ass Jerry Jones go home miserable next week in his stadium again. The Giants have done it before. I don't see that team stopping Eli. And if they can get that running game going, I don't care. They could say it's a passing league, but I'm happy to see that line get some holes and get that running game going to help their quarterback out. And I'm feeling pretty confident because Romo ain't no Rodgers. And to get some pressure on that guy, he's prone to mistakes.
I appreciate the call, Sonny. Thanks a lot. And, look, I think you do have to stick with the offensive line. It worked. You can come up with reasons on why it should have worked and, you know, their two inside linebackers are out, their run defense isn't that good to begin with. That's all well and good. The Giants haven't been able to run the ball against anybody. And you saw holes on that offensive line that you haven't seen all season. And I get David Boss, he's a big free agent assignee and all that, but this is a must-win game next week against Dallas. This will have a huge impact on whether or not you're going to make the playoffs. Don't you have to put the guys out there that give you the best chance to win? And based on their performance against Green Bay, compared to what's been going on the rest of the year, how can you not think that combination, at least to start the game, see how they do, gives you the best chance to win?
Well, it seems when Booth is at center, as you just alluded to, they seem to be playing at a different level than when Boss is at center. I just find it hard to believe.
And I don't want to just blame David Boss. I don't think it's his fault. If you looked at the tape against New Orleans and Philadelphia, David Boss wasn't the problem. He actually played pretty well in those games. He wasn't the issue of why the Giants played so poorly on the offensive line. So we're not just pointing our finger at David Boss. But whatever worked, you know, the offensive line, this chemistry, it's little things that come together. We saw that for really the first time last week. And maybe it had to do with David Thiel getting more comfortable at a tackle again. Yeah, there's a myriad of things that could have been the reason. But don't you have to at least give it a chance to work again?
Well, I would think that they're probably going to weigh that option. I just go back to the organization's mentality, and I'm going to find it hard to believe that, you know, David Boss is going to lose his starter spot because he had some headaches leading up to this game. But you're right. You have to give it some weight, the fact that they played solidly on that offensive line. And you're right. It does come down to the little things when you're talking about how the offensive line performs. You know, Petras at guard and Booth at center is different than Booth at guard and Deal at tackle and Boss at center. It's all about the movement and how they align to formulate the holes. So, you know, I know it's a little thing about, oh, you move a guy to center, you move a guy to guard, how difficult is it? But it really does mean the difference between having success with the running game and losing 5 yards on every carry.
Victor's in Texas. Good morning, Victor. Do you have your thoughts together this morning?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Doing well, Victor.
Doing well, Victor.
You know what? You know, I just want to talk, you know, touch briefly on the game, and then I want to talk about the Dallas game.
Sure.
You know what? Everybody's saying it's a moral victory. You know what? Moral victories are to me, they still for losers. I mean, you lost the game. You know, what you can't hang your head on is the fact that you played well. You came to the game. You showed up. It wasn't like a blowout like the Saints. You were in the game. You know, that's all I can say about that game. And, looking on the Dallas game, you know, talking about Kevin Booth and the offensive lineman, you know, Booth played very well. I mean, he's really the unsung hero on his line. He doesn't get a lot of credit. But typically when Booth plays against the Cowboys, he has issues. Oh, he has a lot of issues with that speed rush. You got DeMarcus Ware. You got Ratliff. You got Spencer and all those guys. You know, they create problems for him. So I'd rather see Boss in there. But, you know, it doesn't really matter who's on that line if McKenzie can't keep Eli upright. You know, McKenzie, to me, I mean, he has his games and then he doesn't have his games. We have to these are the things we know about the Dallas Cowboys. One, we got to chip DeMarcus Ware. Two, we got to be able to pass block. I mean, you know the Dallas Cowboys are going to stunt. All right? So Pat Flaherty, you know you got to get your linemen ready for that stunt that they're going to do. Two, you know, Rob Ryan is very aggressive on defense. He's going to send that corner blitz. So Eli has to know that. Linemen have to point that out. Three, you know what? we got to run the ball physically. We got to be physical because Dallas is going to come out and be physical with us. You know what you got to do to a bully? You got to punch him in his mouth. Can't let the bully punch you. So we got to be the big bully up in Big D this Sunday. And, you know, Eli Manning got to be on point. I mean, that interception, you know, costly, you know, definitely costly to us. You can't go up to Dallas and have turnovers, you know. You can't go up to Dallas and have turnovers. And we got to be smart. Special teams, to me, I mean, I know I may be asking a lot here, Lance, John, but come on, man. I'm watching the game, and I see the gunner isn't even getting down to anyone. We don't stop anybody from getting to our guy. He has to call fair catch all the time. I mean, look at the plays, and you see our gunners not stopping anybody, or our gunners not getting down to the ball. Excuse me, our defensive guys on special teams not stopping anybody from getting to our punt returner. We don't have any yards on there. So, you know, this game's going to be something, and I hope to see you guys there because, you know, I'm going to be there. I'm loving it. John, before I go, I just want you to know, I saw you in 09. I mean, you were doing an interview with Howard Cross. You don't recall me on the sidelines, though. But
Oh, you know what, Victor? Actually, you know what? Now that you bring it up, I think I do remember that, and I will be at the game on Sunday. I'm going to see if I can fit Lance into my suitcase and stuff him in the overhead compartment, see if I can get him on the team flight. I'm not sure that's going to happen. But I'll make sure I'm on the sideline before the game, Victor. Come down there. Say what's up. I'd love to talk to you.
Hey, definitely. Lance, you better be there too, man. You better be there.
I'll try to see if John can fit me in that suitcase. You can see how big of a priority I am to fit on the team playing, Victor. But we'll try to make the proper decisions when it comes
or
to...
Or Lance could pay for his own ticket and come down.
And just one last thing, guys, before I go here. You know, Eli Manning is having an outstanding year right now. And you know what? He's in his prime, like I told you before, Lance. This guy is prime right now. And you know what? He wasn't lying when he said he was top five. I mean, the guy, he must have felt it coming in this year because the guy is clutch. I haven't seen Eli around in the pocket like he did yesterday. It was just – it was amazing. The guy is coming to his own. And I think we just need – you know, we need to surround him with the best talent possible right now. I don't care what we need to do. Because the guy is in his prime, and we don't need to be wasting that right now. I'll talk to y'all later.
Thanks, all right, Victor. And Eli Manning is top five. I mean, who do you put in front of him besides if you put Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers ahead of him? Who else? I mean, you can't. To me, he's next.
Yeah, he's next. Know, I mean, it's hard to pick another quarterback out of the list you have up there and move them above Eli Manning.
I don't see how you can.
In a league where most
maybe
teams,
Roethlisberger, but I think Manning's having a better year.
Yeah,
I really do.
Plus, you know, I mean, I don't want to jinx anything here, knock on wood, but, you know, it's a position that's been banged up and beat up throughout the course of this season and throughout the course of this league. And the fact that you have some stability and health at the quarterback position is a big key. You know, most teams would love to be in the position that the Giants have at the quarterback position. Look at so many teams that got off to great starts, and now their playoff aspirations are in question due to question marks at quarterback. The Houston Texans, for example. I know they won yesterday, but
Bears?
You know, Bears, yeah. You know, in one injury away from losing stability at that position, and
Eli's never hurt.
Starts and ends at the quarterback.
And Eli's never hurt. He's never been hurt. He always plays. And that's something that really can't be overlooked.
And he's had injuries in the past, and he's played through them. He's had some leg injuries.
And he had the shoulder. Remember, yeah. He suffered that shoulder injury. Yeah. I think it was week two a couple years ago that he fought through. They had that big controversy. One of the ESPN guys reported he'd be out 6 weeks. Then he ended up playing the next week. Shocking. The reports were wrong. That never happens. I just can't believe it. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter at #GiantsChat. Lance, why don't you go through some of our little messages here on Twitter.
Why don't I just read what you wrote? Because you seem to be filling up Twitter here. You and your superb analysis here.
Well, the man-to-man coverage for the Giants.
Well, I'm answering some Twitter questions here, Lance. I figured you might want to address some of these concerns as well, or unless my superb analysis, as you aptly put it, is enough to satisfy the masses.
Well, since you are such a fan of man-to-man zone coverage, we have a tweet here related to that.
Okay.
So why don't we throw this out here, and maybe you can reread your tweet, and that'll save you some
time.
Well,
I don't have to just use 140 characters when I'm talking here, so my answer will be slightly more complete.
So Kasim writes, Webster and Ross were drafted because they are good cover corners.
Which is correct.
Okay. So he wants to have some assistance in understanding why they are always playing zone coverage.
Well, I think you saw a lot more man-to-man this week against the Packers. And that's why, frankly, Aaron Rodgers had a lot of room to run on a couple of those plays. You saw a lot more man-to-man. But the weakness of man-to-man coverage at the Giants, Kasim, does not come with the cornerback position, where you have two guys that can cover, Ross and Webster. It comes in that third cornerback spot where you're trying to work Prince and Mukamura in. You had Will Blackman out there. We saw him on Jordy Nelson at the end of the game. Then you have the linebackers that have to cover man-on-man. And JerMichael Finley, I thought Jaquan Williams did a pretty good job on him, but he still did his damage. He had his catches. We see what happens when the safeties get lined up in mismatches sometimes and who can play and who can't. That's where your problem's man-to-man. You can cover outside, but if your guy's inside at safety and linebacker lands can't cover, it's not going to matter. They're just going to pick apart the middle of the field.
Which JerMichael Finley, like you mentioned, had a field day with, and that's why I would have some concerns regarding Jason Witten, because this is the second straight week they're going to go up against a team that has a tight end that's pretty much the equivalent of a wide receiver. He could put up that type of numbers. The other tweet that we had by Ezekiel Hill, who's obviously a big contributor to the show, regarding the balance between the run and the passing game yesterday. Now, Manning threw it 40 times. Clearly, they ran the ball much better than they have all season long, but should they have run it even more given the yardage per carry that they were getting? I mean, Jacobs led the way. He had 8 carries for 59 yards. Bradshaw wasn't as effective, but definitely provided a spark. His presence on the field, I thought, really elevated this running game.
I agree. I think it really helped. Frankly, it helped more than I thought it would. He had a bigger impact coming back than I thought he would. I know I fought with a lot of the callers last week about that. He really made a big difference. So you guys out there arguing that, you were more right than I was. But the Giants with 447 yards of offense, I'm going to have trouble really getting upset about what the Giants did offensively. I remember last week, people complained, you tried to run the ball too much. Now, you're not running the ball enough. It's very easy to go after the play calling, Lance, but the offense wasn't the issue in this game, in my opinion. They scored 35 points. Granted, 7 of those came on an interception by Blackburn that set you up deep in Packers territory, but that's going to happen. The offense scored enough points in this game. You put up 35, theoretically, you should win.
But like you said, it gets back to the defense, and that relates to another tweet that we have. See, you're setting me up perfectly.
Though,
tonight.
In fairness, Ezekiel, I think you could have run the ball maybe a little bit more. I thought you had a lot of success. Maybe you could have pounded it a bit more, 40 passes, 20 runs, maybe a little bit more balance. I'll buy it.
Well, listen.
I'll buy it. But it's not the reason you lost.
No, but the Giants are always striving for balance.
Yep.
I don't think they ever want to throw the ball 50 times and only run 15 times.
Of course.
You know, they want the balance. It's just, you know, how the game plan turned out, and sometimes it doesn't go always according to plan. And listen, the Giants were in a position where they had to play from behind at times. So clearly, you know, there was urgency to score a touchdown on that last drive. They got to continue to move the football, and they did it through the air, and Manning did it very quickly. He hit Jake Ballard, he hit Victor Cruz. In the span of 3 catches, they were already in Packers territory. So, I mean, if there's any drive that I'm not going to criticize the Giants, and I know there are still Giants fans out there that say you should have run the ball more on that last drive in terms of game management.
You scored a touchdown.
That's the bottom line. That was the goal. You got the 2-point conversion, 58 seconds left. You should have enough confidence in your defense to hold the Packers out of field goal range. That's what that game comes down to yesterday, having enough confidence in your defense. And as Rebecca F. throws out here, they have the potential to beat Dallas if they just need to fill the holes on defense. And I agree. If they put 35 points up against the Cowboys, they should win that game. The question is, are they going to give Tony Romo opportunities and holes to fight back and answer every time Eli Manning gets the Giants in the end zone?
And as we mentioned, the Cowboys have a very explosive offense. They've finally gotten some balance this year with the emergence of DeMarco Murray. That was one of their issues the first 5 or 6 games when they struggled. They couldn't run the football, and it was either Tony Romo or nothing. And now with DeMarco Murray there, they've achieved some measure of balance, and which should keep the Giants' defense on their heels a little bit. And they'll have to not only stop the run, they'll have to worry about Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, and Laurent Robinson getting over the top.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if the Cowboys actually get back to the run, because if you looked at the balance of the plays, speaking of the run versus the pass, you know, Dallas was setting the tempo in that game yesterday against Arizona. I was stunned that DeMarco Murray only had, 11 to 12 carries.
He only rushed for 30 yards, though, too, right?
You know, you would think, you know, establish the run and pound, and that should be able to milk the clock and not give Arizona opportunities to, get back into the mix of that game. So
you know, obviously,
that would be a good example to carry over.
Yeah, obviously, I was obviously working the Giant game, so I didn't manage to keep an eye on the Cowboy game much, very closely, but I was keeping an eye online. Obviously, I do the scoreboard updates during the radio broadcast. And it seemed like the Cowboys' offense was able to move the ball up and down the field, but they would usually stall around midfield. I mean, Tony Romo threw for 300 yards. The Cowboys ran as a team for about 85 yards, or about 80 yards it looked like. that usually will equal more than 13 points. And the Cowboys, it's not like they turned it over. Romo didn't have any interceptions. They didn't have any fumbles lost. It was a strange game where they gained over 350 yards of offense, but they only scored 13 points, which is an odd thing to see.
I believe in the first half they had 7 possessions. 6 times they got into Arizona territory, yet they only put up 10 points. You know, I mean, that's a telling statistic. It's almost similar to the Giants' issues in the first half prior to this game.
Against the Saints, right.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, they only walk away with a field goal, but they get into the opposition's territory time in and time out. And by the way, a quick side note here, speaking of getting off to a fast start, which we didn't discuss, Eli Manning hooking up with Travis Beckham. We didn't even throw out your favorite line here, John.
Well, obviously, when you need a big player in the game, there's only one guy to go to. Beckham is Beckham. He's Travis Beckham. And apparently, did he have a quote at the after the game, "I know how good I am"? Is that what he said?
You know, I did not see that.
I didn't have a chance to read the papers this morning, but I saw something on Twitter or a headline which I thought was funny. Only his second catch of the year, by the way. And, wow, talk about a big play off the top. Charlie Peppra, not expecting the Travis Beckham's skinny post down the middle of the field.
Well,
I don't think Eli Manning was either, for that matter.
As good as the catch was, I was more impressed with his weaving in and out of traffic ability.
Great run after the catch.
I mean, that was impressive. You know, he did make the big catch, but the bottom line is he finished when he potentially could have been brought down via tackle. So that was a big spark. You know, and the Giants had some mixed
brought
results.
Brought down via tackle. Well, I like the way you put that. That's not bad. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Name that play. Travis Beckham deep post.
Well, you know, you always put me on the spot here.
Well it's live radio. I have no other choice.
I will think about it. Let's go over my horrendous picks, and that'll buy me some time. How about that, all right? I'm throwing myself under the bus even more.
Well, they are horrendous. Lance going 1-4.
Well, that's why I thought you were going to gloat about it earlier in the show. I'm surprised you waited till the final minutes here.
I'll squeeze it all into 5 minutes
let's
here.
Hear it.
Giant fans really don't. They care about the game. They don't really care about your picks. But I do, because you went 1-4, and you're now 29-31. Two games under 500.
And I've stayed above all this time.
Well,
it's a poor showing.
That is, 1-4 last week, Lance. And that's following a 2-3 performance the week before. So you're 3-7 your last 2 weeks. That's bad.
I got no excuses. I mean, listen, the Redskins.
Usually you're full of excuses.
The Redskins were leading the Jets. They couldn't close out the game. The Raiders decided not to show up against the Dolphins. I got the Broncos game right, at least. So, Tim Tebow hasn't failed
magic.
Yet.
I mean, look, I he's still not a guy I would want as my starting quarterback, but last week, this week, threw the ball a little bit. He got some yards in that game, and you got to give him credit. They just keep winning.
They
keep winning.
And you know what? They actually won that game yesterday because of Tim Tebow. Point to the defense being the reason.
And
Broncos
it is.
Defense did not show up yesterday.
Scored 35 points. I mean, wow. Anyway, I'm 32-28. Lance 29-31.
Great transition.
Yeah, I know. Just fantastic.
Well, how did you do this week, by the way? You always throw out your overall record.
2-3. Mediocre.
Oh, wow.
Mediocre.
Mean, come on.
It's mediocre.
Well, let's give you a gold star
it's
on
poor.
The wall for that.
I'm not bragging about 2-3, but I am still 4 games over 500, which is a nice, solid cushion. Above the 500 mark. Both games that we lost, we talked a lot about the Cowboys and Cardinals already. We won't touch on that again. How about the Houston? You know what? Let's give Gary Kubiak and Wade Phillips some credit. How about the Houston Texans here? They lose their starting quarterback. They lost Mario Williams earlier in the year. They keep winning football games. A big win against the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. Wow.
They can run the football. That's the simple answer. When you have Arian Foster and Ben Tate, it doesn't matter what quarterback you have underneath. As long as the offensive line builds holes for those two guys, they're going to win games. Plus, they also lost Andre Johnson again to another hamstring injury, and they may not get him back unless they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, but wow. Give Wade Phillips and Kubiak a lot of credit.
He's a better defensive coordinator than he is head coach.
And I thought the Bears would come out and really lay it to Kansas City after a bad loss. And, boy, maybe people underestimated how important and how good Jay Cutler is. And now Matt Forte's out. Who knows how long he's going to be out, too. MCL, I think they're saying, for Forte?
2 to 4 weeks, I believe.
Oh, boy.
They may be looking at Mr. McNabb. Multiple reports are saying that.
And I know everyone's talking about, by the way, I think McNabb's from Chicago, Illinois, originally, isn't
he?
I believe he is. The Giants, all of a sudden, and the Cowboys, for that matter. I know this game's very important for the division. Wild cards wide open. You could easily have two teams in the NFC East at 9-7. One isn't a division winner, and one is a wild card at this point. The way Detroit and Chicago are closing their seasons, not well.
The conference record is really hurting the Giants from that perspective.
But the,
because remember,
true.
The Falcons and the Bears lost to AFC opponents yesterday, and that didn't hurt them when it comes to tiebreaker situations.
And I mentioned the tiebreakers. In the division, common games is in front of conference record, but out of the division, conference record takes priority in that tiebreaker matchup, so Lance, that's a very good point. But the Bears with the loss yesterday to the Chiefs. You mentioned Tim Tebow. You got your win there with the Broncos not upsetting, but beating the Vikings. And then our two upset specials, I got the Titans game right, playing Buffalo.
I can't believe that was it. That was your upset special?
3-point spread.
That is weak.
Sorry. Same spread as the game weak. That you picked. Miami against Oakland. And Miami absolutely obliterating your Oakland Raiders, and your upset pick should be an embarrassment that you have trouble walking home with right now. It was pretty bad. They crushed them.
You're right. I mean,
what happened to your boy Carson Palmer?
He's not my boy.
Oh,
right,
you were blowing Carson Palmer up for 3 weeks.
No.
He's going to give the Raiders an offensive weapon through the air. He's going to turn their offensive season around. And he stunk up the joint yesterday.
If we're going to hold up Jason Campbell to Carson Palmer, I think you would agree with me that Carson Palmer gives them a better chance in the passing game than Jason Campbell.
Not yesterday.
You're right. That's a reflection of Miami's defense.
How about Miami in general? They're playing good football. They really are. Give them credit.
Tony
and it really started with the Giants game.
It did. No, listen, they have been in every single game, and they have two lopsided wins against the Bills and the Raiders. So, you know, they are a much more consistent team. Matt Moore has really, you know, adapted to the offense and has got them back on track. Reggie Bush has come alive. You know, it took them some time, but clearly the Dolphins will probably close out the season on a very high note. They're not going to probably get into the playoffs, but who knows? Maybe it'll save some jobs over there.
How about some fun? I want to give you a chance to rebound a little bit here. Do you want to pick the Monday night game tonight just for fun?
The Monday night game? Oh, when I was spicing things up here?
You really want to go?
Well, what's the spread on the Monday night game? Do you, Mr. Vegas over here? Do we have
First of all,
do we
want to
consider it an upset special?
We're picking the game head to head here. There's no upset special Vegas thing. Yeah, we're just having fun picking the game.
I can't see you picking the team that I'm not going to pick, okay? So I just can't see it happening here. So I really don't think anybody's going to gain any ground. But
okay,
if you want
fine.
This to be a boring discussion, I have San Diego beating Jacksonville.
I think San Diego would.
Well, you really went out on a limb.
I was just giving you an opportunity to maybe pick up some ground and show some guts and go with the Jacksonville Jaguars. New owner, momentum, Maurice Jones-Drew.
How about a new coach, too?
A new coach. The San Diego Chargers have not played well the last few weeks. They're coming up awfully small, perhaps quitting on their coaching staff, which might change at the end of the year. I think it's a great opportunity for the Jaguars to pull off an upset here. I think it's a good chance for you to gain some ground.
Well, I would disagree with that analysis there. I can't see Jacksonville scoring many points in this game, and that's what scares me. Well, that offense is suspect.
Gutless. Cowardly, even though, perhaps.
San Diego. It's a big must-win situation for the Chargers.
Oh, the Chargers are done. Oh, they're
done. Listen, mathematically, they're still alive.
The way they're playing. Something's wrong with Phil Rivers, I think, by the way. I don't think he's right.
We may find that out after the season. I see you read multiple media outlets, I take it.
Do you know something, Mr. Meadow?
No, I don't.
Well, you're over there at Sirius NFL Radio. I thought maybe, you know, you guys might have some inside information.
There is speculation that he is playing with an injury. I don't know the exact injury, but a lot of people believe that he's been hiding that since the start of the season. Clearly, his numbers are down. He leads the league in interceptions. I mean, given what his record and his resume has shown in the past, you know, you could certainly contribute an injury to why his numbers are down. But, you know, I don't think they've gotten consistent production on defense. I think that's also hurt them.
Or in the running game, for that matter.
You know, so there's a lot of factors that have contributed to why San Diego's not leading that division. But Rivers is certainly a big factor that shouldn't be overlooked.
And he has played hurt before. Remember, he played with that torn ACL in the playoff game a few years ago, which is really one of the most heroic performances I've ever seen. I thought it was a very impressive deal. All right, Lance, final thoughts here on the game yesterday. Giants and Packers, Dallas coming up next week.
Listen, I agree with you, and I know we talked a lot about this before we went on the air. There's plenty of positives to take away from the game, but I also agree with Victor that there are no moral victories. So, to me, is the Giants need to make a statement Sunday that they can carry off of the positives that were made yesterday. Can they run the ball effectively against the Dallas Cowboys? Can they win the battle at the line of scrimmage and get to Tony Romo again? If they do those things again, then you could say maybe the Giants have turned the corner and they're a more consistent football team. Or are we going to see the team that showed up against the New Orleans Saints. So that I need some proving to be done Sunday night before I could get a better gauge on where this team goes down the stretch.
And I'm going to agree with Victor as well, because after he said there are no moral victories, he did say what you can take out of this game is that the team played well. And their execution was better than we've seen since the San Francisco game, where they lost, but they still played very good football. And like you said, if you could carry that into next week against Dallas, play with the same intensity, the same heart, the same precision, the same execution, that's a game that they have an excellent, 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 excellent chance of coming out of with a W. And we'll see, though. And I said it before early in the show, they come out and they lose next week and they play poorly, this game doesn't mean squat. It's just a loss. And we'll see what happens. Lance, appreciate it as always, my friend.
Fun as always.
And, of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every morning from 9:30 to 10:30 on Giants.com. Tomorrow, Michael Eisen will join me for the first half hour. We'll have a little fantasy review with Mr. Melroy over here. And then, of course, the rest of the week, Coach's press conference comes your way at 11 a.m. on Wednesday. We'll get all the latest on all the injuries. Kenny Phillips, of course, I'm sure will be a big topic of conversation at that press conference on Wednesday. Everybody, callers, people on Twitter, great job. You guys make the show as good as it is. We can't do it without you. We appreciate it. And make sure you tune in tomorrow at 9:30 for another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Good night, everybody.
Have a good one.